All right, we're talking PR today. And let me tell you, I mean, I look at stats, I look at data, and I know that anytime I have PR and press and pitching and all the things, those episodes blow up. Like, you can't get enough of hearing how to get press. So I am really excited because I am bringing on today Stephanie Burns. So the way we connected actually was Stephanie was my first Forbes article that was featured was actually from Stephanie. So she has written for Forbes for, I think, about 9 years or so, she had told me, contributed for Forbes, I think Entrepreneur, the Today Show. Like, she knows her stuff. So I convinced her to come on and share some strategies, some tips, things that you need to know. And I'm actually really grateful because she said, what people think is like press is everything, but press is one part of the equation. It is one part of the strategy, and you need all the other pieces. And we dive in today with Stephanie on what those pieces are. So I know you're going to enjoy this. She had some golden nuggets in there. Definitely make sure to check her out online as well. I think you're going to love what she puts out. Growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindset. Welcome to Foot Traffic. With over 1 million downloads, it's the go-to marketing podcast dedicated to helping you grow your small business. I'm your host, Stacey Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Stephanie Burns, welcome to Foot Traffic. I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much.
Yes. So I've just been, you know, raving about you to my team. I'm like, oh, I get to interview her today. I'm so excited. This is going to be such a fun episode. I know my audience well. I know what they like, and everything you're about to share, they're going to eat right up. So before we dive in and I just get to, you know, ask you a million questions, share a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey, what you're doing, what your story is, and then we'll dive in.
Sure. So my entrepreneurial journey started about 12 years ago. And I created a company called Chic CEO, which was an online resource for female entrepreneurs, giving them all the background information they needed to get a business started, like how to write a business plan, how to get your EIN, you know, how to write a press release, how to save for taxes, all of that stuff. I shut it down in 2015, I believe, or 2016, and just kind of, you know, started consulting. I got married, had babies, those kinds of things. Yeah. But I amassed a network of these female entrepreneurs who I love so much. And at the time when I created my business, there really was not a resource for them to get a business started. That is not the case today. So there's so many people out there providing resources for these women, which I just love to see. And they're all in good hands now. So that, you know, that makes me happy. And now what I'm doing is I have an agency called the Wild Agency. And at Wild, we help people with their visibility. So using all of the modalities and the ways to get eyeballs on your personal brand is really what I do. I contributed to Forbes for 9 years. I write for Entrepreneur, the Today Show, blog, and Life Hack. So I like to write, on the topic of entrepreneurship as well. So
what was your writing background? Like, did you go to school for it? Wow. Okay.
Wow. Oh, I know. I always thought I was a terrible writer. Okay. When I remember thinking in college and things like that, you know, I'm too brief. I have no fluff. I'm brevity is what I do. I cannot write more than that. And that turned out to be perfect for me. You know, when, you know, for Forbes, their sweet spot was a 750 word article. I'm like, done. I can do that. I can do that. That's great. Blogging. Great.
Oh, I love it.
That ended up working for me. Yeah. People are, you're such a great writer. I'm like, I never, ever thought that I would become
so funny. Once you started getting into writing, did you then start to obsess over learning how to become a better writer, or no, this was just your style and the way you continue to do it?
You know, I started to figure out what was working and what wasn't working. I think that all of us in our writing or any sort of content that we put out, we need to put our personality into it, and which that's very much what I did. And that actually works for me. And I think that works for everybody, to be honest. I also noticed that when I didn't write something that was valuable or teachable, that it wasn't getting the kind of traction that it could be getting. And so eventually what came of that was I realized that in any sort of collaboration, right? And writing is a collaboration, the writer and the reader, any sort of collaboration, there needs to be a win-win-win. A win for me, a win for the reader, and a win for the publication. And so in doing that, I want to keep writing things that the reader wants to read. And what I found was it needs to have actionable takeaways. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of became my writing style, because that's really what resonated most.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, and you just said you found out what worked, what didn't, right? You leaned into that. And it's not surprising that you're in the visibility space where that's everything. You have to look at what worked, what didn't, to keep doing more of it. So I love, love, love seeing that skill set transfer over. Okay, let's talk about visibility. So first of all, what are people's biggest frustrations now? Like in today's market with what's going on, what do you hear, you know, business owners complaining about, wishing they had? Like, what's kind of the conversation?
Well, you know, there's so many avenues to be visible right now that it's a good thing and a bad thing. You can use all of these avenues to be extremely visible, and you can also get very lost in it. When I was writing for Forbes, you know, my blog in the last 3 years has amassed over 16 million views.
Wow.
And, you know, of course it helps that it was on Forbes, but I busted my butt to get those pieces visible. And so I started to learn a lot of things. And I think that obscurity really is that big frustration. And the nice thing about what's going on today is that getting press, while that's lovely, is not the only way you can be visible. And there's so much more that you can be doing on a daily basis to keep your visibility up. And then if you get press, it's just like, you know, icing on the cake. It's the feather in the cap.
Yeah.
But even getting press, if you don't know how to leverage it correctly, if you don't know how to give it legs, if you don't know how to make it last, it's just the flash in the pan. You know, it's gone, you know, it's gone tomorrow. It's here today, gone tomorrow. And so really that's what I'm helping people do now is how do we sustainably keep you visible in front of people? How do we layer on social? How do we layer on, you know, speaking or creating your own content, syndication, and press in your visibility strategy? Because these days, press is just a small part of what can be done.
Well, and yes, people want press, but I would love to hear, you said press is a small part of it. What are some other strategies or things people need to be thinking about besides just getting media coverage?
Well, I think people need to remember that your audience isn't just hanging out at Forbes. Your audience isn't just hanging out at Entrepreneur or Wired or, you know, any of these really amazing, it's really great to get this kind of coverage because it does help with your credibility and your authority, of course, but that's not where they're hanging out, you know? And so it's finding where they're hanging out. And I also say, write or contribute where people are. You know, Medium. I tell everybody this all the time, start blogging on Medium. Don't blog on your own blog. You don't have millions of people on your own blog. There's millions of people over at Medium, and you can hop on there today and start being visible.
Okay.
I love it. You know, pitch yourself on coming on podcasts, you know, try and get on some panel events or speaking events, create your own podcast, get on social, get on TikTok, get on YouTube, wherever your people want to consume your message, be there and show up. Yeah.
Well, and one thing too, because it can be so overwhelming when you say all of the platforms and all of the things, right? And I always tell people, first start where you naturally hang out, right? Most of these platforms, your people are there somewhere, right? So if you pick a place like for instance, LinkedIn has been the hardest for me because I don't go on LinkedIn. Like it's just not my place. So my team does it and they do everything over there. But if it was up to me, it would still be struggling, right? So I think like first get started with what lights you up and where you can invest time and energy and then start to diversify. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Do you find that people, is it, if you, I guess if I were coming to you in your agency and I said, okay, I want to start to get more visible, would you immediately start to diversify, or would you go into what they're already doing and make it better, or both?
I start to diversify because it's an enormous amount of work. And that's why I created an agency around it, because it is an enormous amount of work. But, you know, those little places, those pockets that you show up, you know, you just show up all over the place. But if it's not where, like you said, if it's not like naturally where you show up, then don't do it. You know, have somebody else do that for you. Recently, as last week, we had placed a piece for one of my clients, and the Today Show producer called her last week and asked her to come on because they saw a piece that we had placed at the end of last year. And so that's why your visibility is important, because eventually as you build it up, the media will start to see you too. And then, you know, see you as a source and ask you to come on. I didn't pitch the Today Show for her. She didn't pitch the Today Show for herself. They saw her because she was visible.
They're actively looking for people.
Exactly. So if, I mean, when we create one piece of content for a client, I mean, you should see the list of the things that happens after that. I mean, it's enormous of what can be done with your visibility. So
for you, because you are a writer, is most of your visibility writing and articles, or do you still recommend videos and things like that as well?
It depends on the comfortability of somebody. You know, I have a client right now. She is like, I will not public speak. That is a no-go. I won't do it. Okay. But that's, you know, that's, she's not comfortable with that. And I have another client who loves to do TikToks and reels and those kinds of things. So it's really what they're comfortable with and they want to do. And then we will, you know, kind of amplify that, helping them come up with content ideas, and then we can amplify and then, you know, pitching them to media. So
yeah, love it.
You know,
For somebody who's struggling with coming up with content, where do they get started? How do they start to, I mean, you've got, like you just said, you put a lot of work into your articles, which got a lot of visibility. They were like filled with gold. How do people start to build their bank of content to really make sure it's something people are interested in, will get those views, et cetera?
I think in terms of content, one of the things that I recommend highly is to take off your marketer hat and put on your teacher hat. People will follow you. People will return and read from you if they can take actionable pieces and put it into their life. You know, when I get pitched for, when I got pitched for my column, and I still, you know, I'm still getting pitched this day for like the other places that I write. But when I get pitches that are just, my story is so interesting and my company is doing these cool things, honestly, nobody cares. And that is the truth. And we have to remember that your backstory is not interesting to anybody unless somebody can say, okay, I identify with that. I just learned something. I can take that into my own business. And so when you're starting to create content, what's going to actually get traction is things that you can impart on others, the lessons that you've learned. And that actually opens up the window and opens up the door in your field of vision in how much more you can talk about than you're probably talking about right now. Not too long ago, I had a woman who lives in Alaska, and she has a dog sledding company, like takes you on dog sledding rides. Or she's making seven figures a year. And she's like, I don't know if anybody would be interested. I mean, it's dog sledding. I'm like, no, it's not. It's a seven figure business. You are in a remote area. You are in a very niche, you know, industry. You have a lot to talk about in terms of business that you could be talking about. So we can carry over some of those lessons. And we have lots of content. If you just really think about, I'm sure everybody's got something media worthy to pitch.
That so is that a strategy of when she says, okay, I have dog sledding, is the strategy to go, but what's the broader picture? What's the more, the takeaways from everybody else? So you go, you kind of like zoom out to say seven figure business.
Sometimes, absolutely. Okay. And I think what I'm finding too is that the personal brands of company founders are much more compelling than what the company is doing, unless the publication is solely focused on like a tech company that's only wants to talk about the tech. But most media wants to talk about the person because that's what people want to read and listen to.
Got it.
And what their lessons are or what their journey was. Can it inspire? Really pulling that back into that broader view is how you get, I think, how you get the media to really take notice of you and what you're doing. Yeah.
Now, as somebody who has seen, I can only imagine how often you get pitched, but as somebody who's seen just like a gazillion different types of pitches, what are ones you just cringe on and you're like, please don't do this? And then what are some really good ones that have stood out that you remember?
Great question. Some of the more cringy ones are the ones that start out with interview opportunity. In the subject line, interview opportunity, somebody, I'm like, this is not an opportunity for me. It's not, you know, I have 40 other people.
For them, yes.
Yeah. For you, yes. For me, no. So, sorry. Did my earbuds go off?
Nope. You're good.
You can hear me. Okay. Yep. So don't waste that real estate. You know, don't waste that real estate in saying interview opportunity. It's just a waste of space. That always just makes me just, one of the things that I would say is that if you can come with something super compelling or contrarian, even that will make somebody perk up and want to read more, but it needs to have a payoff. You need to actually have that payoff. Like, yes, you need to follow through on this really compelling subject line. Mm-hmm. But that one really makes me cringe because it just seems like such a wasted opportunity. Some of the ones that are really good that have always caught my attention again is a contrarian point of view. Something that is compelling. When I started Chic CEO, for example, I used my winnings from being on the Wheel of Fortune to,
oh my goodness. Yeah.
to start the company.
Okay. Right there. Yes.
Right. So right. I get to say a game show funded my startup.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, who thinks of going on a game show and having game show money start fund their startup? You know, we think of all these different paths that we all have to take. So if you can come with something interesting, that's different, that's always going to fare better than interview opportunity.
Well, and I think sometimes it's hard to find something interesting about you, but if you ask somebody, your closest friends, your anybody to bring that up, to see what they think of, how they think of you and what they remember, that might spark some creativity versus you're like, nothing exciting. I wasn't on the Wheel of Fortune. Like, I don't have that kind of story, Stephanie, right? You got something. Like, I know it's there, but sometimes you just need somebody else to say it.
Right. I mean, if you think about, okay, I run a dog sledding business in Alaska. Like, who is going to want to talk to me about that? A lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people just saying I run a 7-figure business in Alaska,
right?
Dog sledding tours or whatever. I mean, that is compelling,
mm-hmm.
but we don't think it is, you know?
Right.
So I think that's a really good strategy to maybe sit with somebody else and say, okay, let's brainstorm interesting things about each other.
Right. You just never know. And people see you differently, right? They see you differently than you see yourself. Like, we're our harshest critics. So we're probably not the best person to ask if it's not naturally coming out for us. But so good. So you brought up leveraging press and making it stick. So let's talk about that, because we try so hard to get these features. You post it once on social media and you think, is that it? Am I done? Is it over? So what do you suggest? How do you leverage those even longer?
Oh, there's so many ways. So for me, I keep posting it, you know, every few weeks, just keep posting it. So that's a good way.
Are you completely trying to find a different angle every time you post? And is there too many ways to post it or too many times?
No. Okay. No, I don't think there's too many times at all. No, I don't. You know, I've seen, so some of the people that I've featured I love to watch how they leverage it. It's so fun to watch. I've seen some people run ads to their features. I've seen people run contests. So, you know, read the piece and then, you know, tell me the top three things that you learned. And then I'll, you know, gift some, the best answer, my book or something like that. You know, if it's like a three ways to do something, you know, make a video in each one of those three ways. And then, you know, to read the rest, go to the piece. So there's so many ways that we can start to drag's probably the wrong word, but to actually like extend the power and the reach of the piece, because, you know, we just don't want it to pop in thin air. Otherwise it's kind of a wasted opportunity.
And maybe you had this great opportunity a year ago and you haven't talked about it in a year. And people that are new to you have zero clue. You've done this really cool thing or you've been featured in this really amazing place. So getting to use it longer, but I will say we have run ads because Forbes is credible. People know what Forbes is. So when they see like, oh, okay, well, she must know something if she's been, you know, if she's been featured there. So we'll run it before we start showing other videos of me and it will increase conversions because of that credibility.
Yeah.
I love that you brought that up.
Yeah. And that, you know, definitely it needs to be retold, right? Yeah. It just needs to be retold. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's too many times that you can do that.
Okay, I love it. And I'm sure lots of people need to hear permission of being able to pull that thing out of the vault that they have not talked about in so long. And I remember hearing somebody actually say, you've got to learn how to talk about that same thing as many different ways as you possibly can, because you can bring back stories from 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It doesn't matter when it happened. So I love hearing you say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good. Okay. Before we wrap up, what is something you want our listeners to hear? Like, what is something like if you could just talk to them right now and share about their visibility, something they need to know, maybe a misconception, anything you want to share, I'd love to kind of end here.
Yeah, I think that, you know, sometimes we think that press is the end all be all. Mm-hmm. of our visibility journey, but it's just such a small piece of it. And you have more control over your visibility now than we ever have before. And so take advantage of that. We have social media, we have, you know, emailing over to a contributor or to a writer is so easy. We're, you know, decades ago, maybe even a decade ago, it was faxed press releases, right? There's syndication platforms, there's content aggregators like Flipboard and Qu. You know, there's lots and lots of different ways that you can put out content and make it last and give it legs. And that just helps to increase your visibility. You know, I think that even though I know how to do this for my clients, I do a terrible job of it for myself. Yeah. But I leverage software and I leverage, you know, my team to keep me out there enough to where people are finding me. And, you know, I get to do podcasts like this and, you know, all of this stuff extends your reach. And so if you play it smart, your visibility really can be extended. And, you know, press just can add to that. It's not the full picture. And that's definitely something I want people to know.
For sure. Because I think my PR episodes on foot traffic always do the best, like always, everybody wants. That's probably like the type of guest expert we repeat the most because everybody wants it. And they think it's like this, like you said, the end all be all, but there's so much more to do. Yes. It's a great perk and advantage and there's some pros and cons, but you definitely have to be thinking well-rounded as well. So Stephanie, I've loved our conversation. Where can people find you? If they're interested in learning more about your agency, I'd love to have them direct them in the right place.
Yeah. So you can visit me on my website, stephanie-burns.com. I have a visibility strategy session that I run with people. It's a 90-minute session. If you ever want to just like sit down with me and really go through who you are, what you do, who you serve, how can we get your visibility up? Those sessions are so much fun for me and my clients. I love it. So, you know, they can book a session with me there. Just
love it.
That's it pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Go check out Stephanie Burns. She's amazing, especially social. Did you say where you can find on social? Is it the same? Link.
Hey, Stephanie Burns.
Perfect. Okay. Is
my Instagram.
Amazing.
Yeah. One more thing I'd love to tell you about. So two other Forbes contributors, and they also contributed to, I think, Entrepreneur and CEO World. Basically, we have gotten together and we've opened up a free Facebook group called Insights to the Media Room, where we talk about how to get press in top tier media, how to increase your visibility, how to put together pitches, and then, you know, really how to create relationships with journalists. And so we're really excited to kind of impart what we know and what, you know, we like when we see a pitch and those kinds of things. So hopefully we can put that link in the show notes. And
yeah, we'll do that as well. Melissa was a past guest on the show and her episode was a big hit too. Yes. I'll make sure we link that as well. All right. Thank you so much for being here. Appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
If you're loving the Foot Traffic Podcast, I want to invite you to check out our Mastermind Info Session. We have three different levels of masterminds here at Foot Traffic, for those just getting started all the way up to multi-million dollar businesses, from those with brick and mortar businesses to those with online. You can go to stacytuschel.com/info session and catch the replay where I share what each program entails. You'll also hear how you can get a free coaching call with one of our certified foot traffic coaches. Again, go to stacytuschel.com/info session.